ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get ready to rumble!
We got something that's really fantastic. I don't know how you go out fantastic, fantastic.
There is something about the way she conjures the ancestors. She dances when she walks like she's from the Congo. Pure, convo like Asada Shakur says, brothers don't understand the science behind her self-reliance. She has a tattoo of Noble Drew on her neck and a tattoo of Marcus Garvey on her breast and says you've got to have the presence of Martin Delaney if you ever hope to have a future in getting past her Malcolm X. She is smooth as the Hennessy she's sipping as we listen to Horace Silver playing our third game of chess, and I can't help but stare into the natural texture of her hair as she compares George Padmore with C.L.R. James. And from there, she discusses Rodney's, how Europe underdeveloped Africa, and compares that to Kwame Nkrumah's neocolonialism, the last stage of imperialism, and as her lips move, I get lost in her rhythm. And as her thoughts move, I get lost in her wisdom. I love it when she sings CCY2 to the children. I love it when we go on vacations and she puts that homemade sign on the door that says, do not disturb. Nation building. She is Harriet Tubman, loving her people with a passion, fashion like that last chapter in Carter G. Woodson's Miseducation of the Negro. We go conjure the ancestors after every poetry reading, breathing life into the souls that surround us like New Orleans, constantly calling me back. I bathe her in compliments. Wrap her confidence around my waist. I taste her ancestors' DNA every night because there's something spiritual about swallowing the same fluids that once coursed to the physical forms of her predecessive slaves and tribes. And yo, you might think you know me, but if you ain't never seen me with her, then you ain't never seen me alive. I said, you might think you know me, but if you ain't never seen me with her, then you ain't never seen me alive, because she goes from J.A. Rogers to Abubakar while her heart beats the rhythm of the Haitian Revolution and she dances to it, singing the songs of the Cimarron colonies of San Salvador. And as she moves, there's something about the way she conjures the ancestors. There's something about the way she conjures my soul by day and by night. There is something about the way that she has conjured me back from the dead. There is something about the way that she conjures me continuously back to life.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
If your limbs begin dissolving in the water that you tread, all surroundings are evolving in the stream that clears your head. Find yourself a caravan like Noah must have led. 4 and 20 birds of Maya baked into an atom you, polarized into existence, magnet heart from red to blue. To such extent, the realm of dark within the picture, it seems true. All your lightning waits inside you, travel it along your spine. 7 stars receive your visit, 7 seals remain divine. 7 churches filled with spirit, treasure from the angel's mind. The space you make has your own laws, no longer human gods or cause. The center of this house will never die. One-eyed men aren't really reigning, they just march in place until 2-eyed men with mystery training finally feel the power fill. 3-eyed men are not complaining, they can yo-yo where they will. They slip inside this house as they pass by.
There's no love lost between this man and this man, property tycoon Donald Trump and his president.
He went to Occidental. I heard he was a terrible student. Not like, okay, I heard he was a bad student. How does a bad student then go to Columbia and then go to Harvard? How does this happen?
Trump thinking Barack Obama something to hide, not just about his education, but also about where he was born.
He could have been born in Kenya. Could have been born, some people think, Indonesia. Why doesn't he show the birth certificate? And why is he spending millions of dollars in legal fees to get away from this issue?
Trump criticizing Obama's handling of the Libyan crisis.
Obama said, oh, the Arab League is in favor. He's all happy. Like an idiot. The Arab League, he's jumping up and down. The Arab League is in favor of us taking out Gaddafi and going into another war, third war now.
Trump's the star of the U.S. version of The Apprentice. It's like Sir Alan Sugar savaging David Cameron. But is it no more than political posturing for a man considering a bid to stand against the current man in the White House?
He doesn't like Donald Trump, and the last guy in the world that he wants to run is Donald Trump.
The billionaire perhaps waiting for the day when he will be able to tell Obama, "You're fired," and move into the White House himself.
A woman came up to me and said, "I'd like to poison your mind with wrong ideas that appeal to you, though I am not unkind." She looked at me, I looked at something written across her scalp, and these are the words that it faintly said as I tried to call for help. "There's only one thing that I know how to do well, and I've often been told that you only can do what you know how to do well, and that's be you. Be what you're like. Be like yourself. And so I'm having a wonderful time, but I'd rather be whistling in the dark. 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 There's only one thing that I like, and that is whistling in the dark."
Is the document conspiracy theorists said did not exist. President Obama's Hawaiian birth certificate released today by the White House.
Yes, in fact, I was born in Hawaii, August 4th, 1961, in Kapi'olani Hospital.
The president said he did it because the week he introduced his budget plan, stories about the place of his birth dominated the news. In fact, every major network, including ABC, broke into their regular broadcast for the president's remarks on his birth certificate.
"We're not going to be able to solve our problems if we get distracted by sideshows and carnival barkers."
That was almost certainly a reference to Donald Trump, who'd made Obama's place of birth a major campaign issue. Trump was proven wrong, but that did not stop him from congratulating himself for resolving an issue he alone among potential presidential contenders had raised.
"I'm very proud of myself because I've accomplished something that nobody else has been able to accomplish."
It happened on a day in which the White House was expected to make major announcements, sending Leon Panetta to replace Robert Gates as defense secretary, and sending General David Petraeus, commander of the Afghan War, to replace Panetta as the head of the CIA. Trump did not commit to releasing his tax returns, as he suggested he might do.
We'll look at that. Maybe I'm going to do the tax returns when Obama does his birth certificate.
For many Republicans, the fringe birther movement had become an embarrassment. Today, House Speaker John Boehner's office said this has long been a settled issue.
"A man came up to me and said, 'I'd like to change your mind by hitting it with the rock,' he said, 'though I am not unkind.' We laughed at his little joke, and then I happily walked away and hit my head on the wall of the jail where the two of us live today. There's only one thing that I know how to do well, and I've often been told that you only can do what you know how to do well, and that's be you. Be what you're like. Be like yourself. And so I'm having a wonderful time, but I'd rather be whistling in the dark. 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 There's only one thing that I like, and that is whistling in the dark. There's only one thing that I know how to do well, and I've often been told that you only can do what you know how to do well, and that's be you. Be what you're like. Be like yourself. And so I'm having a wonderful time, but I'd rather be whistling in the dark. 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 Whistling, whistling, whistling in the dark. Ah.
President Obama's birth certificate has been welcomed with applause and skepticism. But one Grand Junction man says he knows the document was altered.
"There is no doubt that it has been edited and quite significantly."
James Colby says he's never had a reason to doubt our president's birthplace. He's politically independent. Yet Colby says he can't ignore the obvious. He's been working with graphics for years, and after downloading the file straight off the White House's website, he started noticing the apparent flaws in a computer program called Adobe Illustrator.
"Legitimate digitized scanned documents will always have this faded appearance, so it's not a single document, it's actually a composite of layers. You can see the layers flash yourself just by rapidly zooming in and out in your web browser.
Colby says scanned images should have one digitized layer, but he says President Obama's birth certificate has almost 50.
The white background behind these letters, which is also superimposed, actually covers up a little bit of the D. Even his name has been edited, all except for the R in Barack.
But why would the White House release something so obvious?
The question is why? Why is it so obvious? Maybe the original certificate was damaged, maybe it was faded, maybe someone was just trying to clean it up. You would think if that was the case, they would supply the original certificate just so there would be no suspicions.
Colby says as strange as the edits are, they don't prove a thing. But he thinks they do point in one direction.
It's definitely been edited in its entirety, so the indication would point to the probability of it being fake.
Some of you heard, the state of Hawaii released my official long-form birth certificate. Hopefully, that this puts all doubts to rest. But just in case there are any lingering questions, tonight, I'm prepared to go a step further. Tonight, for the first time, I am releasing my official birth video. Obviously, we all know about your credentials and breadth of experience. For example, no, seriously, just recently, in an episode of Celebrity Apprentice, at the steakhouse, the men's cooking team did not impress the judges from Omaha Steaks. And there was a lot of blame to go around, but you, Mr. Trump, recognized that the real problem was a lack of leadership. And so ultimately, you didn't blame Little John or Meatloaf. You fired Gary Busey. And these are the kind of decisions that would keep me up at night. Say what you will about Mr. Trump, he certainly would bring some change to the White House.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so
trying also selected for full pat down after the body scan. I can only speculate as to why she was selected for that. I asked and was refused any answer. And they just, you know, kept giving instructions on this was going to happen. I did request for her to be rescanned. I said, you know, I asked if there were alternatives and was told no. This is what's going to happen.
I don't want to get my clothes.
Well, I chose to videotape it. I asked my husband to do the videotape of the pat down because I felt that it was wrong. I felt that it was unnecessary. But not so much unnecessary as inappropriate for a child. When it was over and the camera was off, she got very weepy. She began to cry. You know, she was apologetic. I'm sorry, Mommy. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know why they're mad at me.
They're doing the drug test on her, the whatever test.
I understand.
On the six-year-old.
Yeah, that's their job.
That's the cool breeze of freedom right there.
Every time you turn around, there's a big story out about how they did this to that one, and they did this to that one, and this one, and that one, and the other one. And they groped some 79-year-old lady, and then they groped some dude that says, don't touch my junk. And then they, you know, they're doing something to, like, other family members. It's just preposterous, man. You know what I'm saying? But the reason why they do that is because they want to make the alternative so horrendous that you will get your fat ass in that machine. That's what this is all about. It's about acquisition and sales. Because the, I do believe it's Michael Chertoff, is the gentleman that either owns a bunch of shares, or he is the vice president, or somewhere in one of those companies that makes that product to sell to the government. Okay? Scam alert. You know, conflict of interest, that sort of thing, you know. But, you know, that's running rampant in our country. You know, the corruption is all the way up here and it goes all the way down here. It's crazy as hell. But here's the thing. Monty got to thinking, okay, there has to be a way, seeing that the YouTube videos are really not cutting it, and seeing how, you know, writing your congressman doesn't work anymore, emailing your congressman or your congressman or your congresswoman, that doesn't work anymore. Phone calls don't work. Protests don't work. Nothing seems to work. But I have devised a plan that the next time that I fly, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a hidden note for the TSA. Okay? Act suspicious when they start touching you. Like, oh, don't touch me there. And they're like, well, what do you have to hide? And you're like, well, nothing. So what will happen is they're like, okay, you need to step in this office over here. Okay, we need you to disrobe. So they're like, sir, can you please bendeth overeth? And I'm like, sureth. And what they see is this. They see a piece of plastic coming out of there. They're like, we need a supervisor in here. And then the agent is like, okay, what is it? And he's like, I don't know, but it looks very suspicious. I've never seen it before. I have no idea. So then, you got all these supervisors, you know, they're standing around. You know, it's kind of like they're trying to, you know, defuse something or something, right? And they're pulling. I'm like, hey, man! Damn, do you know how long that took me to put that in there? So, you know, you got the TSA and all the supervisors and they're looking at it. I don't know, it looks like a note. I don't know what it is. I'm not really sure. This is what it says. There are no weapons or drugs in my ass. Now, my question is, do you think I'd get arrested for that?
That's the cool breeze of freedom right there.
She said your gulf is green, and now she's sighing. Blew out your pilot light and made a wish. She doesn't have to have her DB's record back now. But there's not a lot of things that she'll take back. She wants to see you again.
The severe weather's continuing across the southern states of America. So far, at least 185 people have reportedly died, and this was the cause. Tornadoes have been sweeping across at least five states, including Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Alabama was particularly badly hit. This footage shows just one of the tornadoes that hit Tuscaloosa. The after effects of such severe storms are clearer from the air. These pictures in Georgia show houses destroyed and factories flattened. The US has been pummeled by storms in recent months. The damage could be costly to repair.
She's not your satellite. She doesn't miss you. To turn off your smoke machine and Marshall stack. She doesn't have to have her young fresh fellas take back. There's not a lot of things that she'll take back. She wants to see you again. She wants to see you again. Slowly twisting.
President Barack Obama has been speaking about the devastating storms that have hit the southeastern United States. Almost 300 people have been killed by clusters of powerful tornadoes over the past week, with Alabama the worst hit.
The loss of life has been heartbreaking, especially in Alabama. In a matter of hours, these deadly tornadoes, some of the worst that we've seen in decades, took mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, friends and neighbors, even entire communities. Others are injured, and some are still missing. And in many places, the damage to homes and businesses is nothing short of catastrophic. We can't control when or where a terrible storm may strike, but we can control how we respond to it. And I want every American who has been affected by this disaster to know that the federal government will do everything we can to help you recover. And we will stand with you as you rebuild.
The president also hailed the efforts of the rescue workers and is set to meet some of those leading the emergency response, as well as visit some of the storm-ravaged communities still reeling from the disaster.
Surprisingly, this has been talked about very little. It's a relatively new discovery. A particle being released from the sun's core that is affecting all matter on Earth. Most importantly, the human body has 8 elements that this particle is affecting, which means that the DNA structure that makes up human beings is being mutated.
Particle man, doing the things a particle can. What's he like? It's not important. Particle man, is he a dot or is he a speck? When he's underwater, does he get wet? Or does the water get him instead? Nobody knows. Particle man. Triangle man, triangle man. Triangle man hates particle man. They have a fight, triangle wins. Triangle man. Universe man, universe man. Size of the entire universe man. Usually kind to smaller man. Universe man, he's got a watch with a minute hand. Millennium hand and a beyond hand. And when they meet, it's a happy land. Powerful man, universe man.
The dramatically named Throat of Fire volcano in Ecuador has erupted, forcing hundreds of residents to flee. Loud explosions shook the ground and rattled windows near the volcano, known as Tungurahua in the local language. Volcanologist Silvana Hidalgo said scientists are monitoring the situation.
There aren't as many explosions as in other cycles of activity, but obviously we have to see how it develops.
Ash was spewed 10 kilometers into the air, with much of the nearby farmland being covered. The volcano has been classed as active since 1999 and is one of 8 active in Ecuador.
Person man, hit on the head with a frying pan, lives his life in a garbage can. Person man, is he depressed or is he a mess? Does he feel totally worthless? Who came up with person man? Degraded man, person man. Triangle man hates person man. They have a fight, triangle wins, triangle man.
Remember, Defense Secretary Gates said, we were not attacked by Gaddafi, nor were we threatened attack. He also said we had no vital national American interest in Libya. Those are the two prerequisites for our United States military entry. He was later asked what our military goal was in Libya. He couldn't state what our military goal is. What in the world are we doing in Libya if we don't know what our military goal is, and if we still aren't sure about who the opposition forces are? What possible
benefit? When you say the opposition, you mean the rebels.
The rebels. What possible benefit could there be for the United States if, in fact, we could potentially be benefiting Al-Qaeda of North Africa or Hezbollah, which is a very strong likelihood? This would be a terrible mistake for this reason, because if we give Al-Qaeda of North Africa access to sustained revenues from oil, they could continue to fund global terrorism. How is that going to help anyone? This is a disaster in the making, and that's why President Obama's policy of leading from behind is an outrage, and people should be outraged at the foolishness of the president's decision.
Okay.
He said he wanted to go in for humanitarian purposes, and overnight we're hearing that potentially 10 to 30,000 people could have been killed in the strikes. Those are some of the reports.
NATO strikes, 10 to 30,000?
There is a report that came out from an ambassador from Tripoli that said we won't know until we're able to go
in. But the NATO strikes killed 10 to 30,000 people?
A report that came out last night from the Tripoli ambassador said that potentially there could be 10 to 30,000.
When you say the Tripoli ambassador, you mean the Libyans?
Yes.
So you're believing the Gaddafi regime?
We don't know. All I'm saying is that President...
Do you think Muammar Gaddafi is a reliable person?
I don't think anyone thinks that. When President Obama went in, his doctrine was to enter into Libya for humanitarian purposes. The point of what I'm saying is that we're seeing many, many lives lost, including innocent civilians' lives. What will be the ultimate objective and gain? I don't see it. I think it was a foolish decision to have gotten it.
Before we get to all of this, I just want to clear up, because we looked into what Michelle Bachmann had been saying. She quoted the U.S. ambassador to Libya as saying that 30,000 people had been killed in the NATO strike so far. In fact, what Ambassador Jean Kretz said is that he estimated that 30,000 people had been killed by all sides in the entire conflict. That includes the rebels and the Gaddafi forces, so big difference.
If your limbs begin dissolving in the water that you tread, all surroundings are evolving in the stream that clears your head. Find yourself a caravan like Noah must have led. 4 and 20 birds of Maya baked into an atom you, polarized into existence magnet heart from red to blue, to such extent the realm of dark within the picture it seems true. All your lightning waits inside you, travel it along your spine, 7 stars receive your visit, 7 seals remain divine. 7 churches filled with spirit, treasure from the angel's mind. The space you make has your own laws, no longer human gods or cause. The center of this house will never die. One-eyed men aren't really reigning, they just march in place until 2-eyed men with mystery training finally feel the power fill. 3-eyed men are not complaining, they can yo-yo where they will. They slip inside this house as they pass by.
Part of Muammar Gaddafi's sprawling compound destroyed. In what appears to be an attempt on his life, part of the base in Tripoli was blown up by airstrikes from NATO forces. Libyan state TV briefly went off air as the bombings happened. No one is sure where Gaddafi was at the time of the attack. 45 people were hurt in the strike, 15 of them seriously. Some were still missing. All that information is yet to be independently confirmed.
I'm your masters of war. You that build all the guns. You that build the death planes. You that build the big bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind discs. I just want you to know I can see through your masks.
Libya has accused NATO of mounting a direct assassination attempt on Colonel Gaddafi amid claims that his youngest son and 3 of his grandchildren were killed in an airstrike. Officials took journalists to a house in Tripoli where they claimed the Libyan leader escaped the missile attack which killed his 29-year-old son Saif al-Arab. It's thought at least 3 missiles hit the villa, which is now a heap of rubble. David Cameron has responded, saying NATO chose its targets in line with the UN Security Council resolution. The events, though, have angered Gaddafi supporters in Tripoli. Crowds gathered in the Libyan capital calling for revenge.
You that never have done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. Then you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe. But I see through your eyes, and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain.
Gunfire rings out over the Syrian capital of Daraa as soldiers crack down on anti-government protesters. Reports suggest that at least 8 tanks have been deployed in the city's old quarter and several bodies have been seen lying in the streets. Witnesses have claimed that the army and security forces are using snipers to fire at random at houses. Daraa has been one of the center points of the campaign against President Bashar al-Assad in recent weeks. In this video, an unidentified man says, instead of fighting in Golan Heights, the Syrian military are fighting their own people. People are not allowed to speak a word about freedom. People can't breathe. Only al-Assad's family is allowed that right. Campaigners say that as many as 350 protesters have been killed in the last 5 weeks. But many remain unafraid of confronting the tanks and openly showing their anger.
Fasten the triggers for the others to fire. Then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion. There's young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled. Fear to bring children into the world. Oh, threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins.
As anti-government protests continue in Syria, more video has surfaced of efforts by the authorities to stifle dissent. This amateur footage shows unarmed protesters marching through what's thought to be the Syrian capital, Damascus. What follows is a volley of gunfire which forces them to take cover. Some are clearly hit by live rounds. The wounded are carried away from the scene. This footage was reportedly filmed on Friday, a day in which 100 people were killed by security forces loyal to the regime of President Bashar al-Assad. A separate video has also emerged, showing tanks and soldiers close to the town of Daraa, where protests have been ongoing over the past 5 weeks.
How much do I know to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young. You might say I'm unlearned. But there's one thing I know. Though I'm younger than you, but even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Or will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find, when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I'll follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you lord down to your deathbed, and I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
I don't have specifics for you because we're pursuing a variety of options, or looking at rather a range of options, including targeted sanctions. What we have seen is that sanctions can put pressure on governments and regimes to change their behavior, and I think that that would be obviously the goal of this. And we continue to encourage President Assad and his government to honor the promises that President Assad has made, to lift the emergency law, for example, to institute reforms, and obviously to cease the violence against his own people. I should note for those who don't know that we have had a fairly aggressive regime of sanctions in place, unilateral sanctions, since I believe 2003, and this would be in addition to that if we were to pursue that course of action. But we're certainly looking at different ways to make clear to the Syrian government how appalling we find this behavior to be, and to encourage them both, as we have by speaking out against it, but in other means, to stop the violence and to move towards serious reform.
Valery Tolmachev is led away from an airport in Rome by Italian police. The 48-year-old Kazakh is being questioned over an attempted hijacking of a Paris to Rome flight. According to passengers, the would-be hijacker had managed to get a weapon through security.
I didn't see the beginning. I just heard a voice saying, "Be quiet," and then the flight attendant being held by him with something like a knife on her throat. She was really cool, really calm. The man was just laughing. At first, we did not realize what was happening. Then some men saw something and they stepped up and blocked him. I was afraid when I realized what was going on. I was afraid.
A statement from Alitalia Airlines said the man had demanded the plane be redirected to the Libyan capital of Tripoli and that he was clearly agitated. One female flight attendant has been treated for minor injuries by first aiders at the airport, while police continue to question the suspect.
From the menace of extreme weather to the menace of extremism in Britain too. The threat of terror attacks led to the arrests of 12 men today in what officials are describing as a significant operation. Early morning raids were carried out in four separate locations, and the men arrested stand accused of plotting large-scale attacks on targets inside the United Kingdom. The BBC's Frank Gardner has the latest.
Weeks of undercover surveillance leading to pre-dawn police raids across Britain. Five men arrested in Cardiff, three in Stoke-on-Trent, three in London, and one in Birmingham, all suspected of preparing acts of terrorism. It's the biggest set of terrorism arrests in Britain in 20 months. Throughout the day, police could be seen making follow-up searches of several addresses. This was Stoke-on-Trent, where neighbours were shocked.
Never had any problems with them or nothing. They've always been very good people.
I do know the family, you know, I always say hello and... You know, they're always polite.
The arrests were all made by unarmed officers, a sign that any suspected plot would not have been that advanced. But Whitehall officials believe the men, aged between 17 and 28, were planning to attack targets in Britain. They're giving out few details.
With the current threat level of the UK at severe, and with the information we had, I believe that today's arrests were absolutely necessary in order to keep the public safe.
But police said something very similar 4 years ago, when over 200 officers raided an address in Forest Gate in East London. There was talk then of a chemical bomb. Roads were cordoned off, aircraft excluded. But in the end, they found nothing, and those arrested were released. So how often do terrorism arrests lead to convictions? In the most recent annual figures for England, Scotland and Wales, just 30% of all those arrested on suspicion of terrorism were actually charged. And out of those, less than half, 48%, were charged with terrorism offences. Over the same 12-month period, 57% of defendants tried under terrorism legislation were convicted.
Begin dissolving in the water that you tread. All surroundings are evolving in the stream that clears your head. Find yourself a caravan like Noah must have led. 4 and 20 birds of Maya baked into an atom you, polarized into existence magnet heart from red to blue. To such extent, the realm of dark within the picture, it seems true. All your lightning waits inside you, travel it along your spine. 7 stars receive your visit, 7 seals remain divine. 7 churches filled with spirit, treasure from the angel's mind. The space you make has your own laws, no longer human gods or cause. The center of this house will never die. One-eyed men aren't really reigning, they just march in place until 2-eyed men with mystery training finally feel the power fill. 3-eyed men are not complaining, they can yo-yo where they will. They slip inside this house as they pass by.
The dictator of Tomania, the conqueror of Austerlitz, the future emperor of the world.
You must speak.
I can't.
You must. It's our only hope.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel? Who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder? Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Let us use that power.
If you want your mini apocalypse, you know, you can have it, and we can bomb Baghdad and gas Tel Aviv and fire the oil sands and kill millions of people on both sides. And you know what? It ain't going to bring the guy from Galilee, and it ain't going to bring friendly flying saucers from Arcturus. All it's just going to bring is a deeper, bigger mess for the human race to try and clean up. Anybody who thinks that, you know, you're going to save the world by setting it on fire is going to be sadly, it's a rare moment for the collectivity to try to anchor itself in larger visions. You know, the reason human society is haunted by messiahs and tin horn visionaries preaching on every corner and people waving little books of different colors is because there is no full development of the individual. There's this kind of arrested, prolonged adolescence. And it's created through institutions. Institutions are a demonic force in human life because they give permission for us to cease developing and to put our loyalty behind some weird creed that has been worked out, usually by a bunch of guys wearing dresses. And then they, you know, hand it down to the rest of us. The message means that the medium is the thing which is making the difference. In all, every discussion you ever hear since the 60s about TV, for example, is it good, is it bad, terrible, wonderful, the discussion hinges around what's on TV. And people say, well, television is terrible, it just shows violence. And then somebody else says, no, television is wonderful, those nature shows and news from far away and masterpiece theater. This is a stupid argument. What McLuhan meant by the media is the message is he meant that it doesn't matter what you put on TV. TV is TV. It has an intrinsic nature. And whether you're showing National Geographic specials or slasher movies, TV will do what it does. It has certain qualities, just like driving a car or skiing. Certain muscles are going to be exercised, certain perceptual systems enhanced, others suppressed. And it's very hard for us to understand this because we have accepted this media so thoroughly into our life. But in fact, it is shaping our value systems in ways that are very hard for us to suspect or even detect. I mean, television, for example, it's a drug. It has a series of measurable physiological parameters that are as intrinsically its signature as the parameters of heroin are its signature. I mean, you sit somebody down in front of a TV set and turn it on, 20 minutes later come back, sample their blood pressure, their eye movement rate, blood is pooling in their rear end, their breathing takes on a certain quality, the stare reflex sets in. I mean, they are thoroughly zoned on a drug. And when you think about the fact that the average American watches 6.5 hours of television a day, imagine if a drug had been introduced in 1948 that we all spent 6.5 hours per day on average watching. And the one thing about drugs in their defense is that it's very hard to diddle the message. A drug is a mirror. But television isn't a mirror. Television is a billboard, and anybody who pays their money can put their message into the trip. This is an extraordinarily insidious situation. What McLuhan wanted to become, I think, was the founder of a general new sophistication about media. And he was essentially parodied to get to death by, guess what? Media. They made of him an icon of cultural incomprehensibility. Not since Einstein have you been so pre-programmed in advance to believe you ain't gonna understand this guy? And that's what they said about McLuhan, and consequently his message and his insight failed. We will have to reinvent McLuhan around the turn of the century, because we are producing forms of media of such interactive power and potential social impact that we're going to have to go back and rethink all of this.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
So it's not a strong field. And who knows if they can beat you in 2012. But I tell you who could definitely beat you, Mr. President. 2008 Barack Obama. You would have loved him. So charismatic, so charming. Was he a little too idealistic? Maybe. But you would have loved him. I still think we all remember that inauguration day. The First Lady was there. And may I say, for as beautiful as you looked that day, you look even more beautiful tonight. Now you, on the other hand, Mr. President, have aged a little. What happened to you? When you were sworn in, you looked like the guy from the Old Spice commercials. Now you look like Louis Gossett Sr. I've never said this to anyone before, but maybe you should start smoking again. Is this the change you were talking about? Mr. President, look at your hair. If your hair gets any whiter, the Tea Party is going to endorse it. I'm going to get an angry voicemail from Ginny Thomas in 19 years. But I believe the President would agree with me that the mood has changed a bit since the beginning of his term. At the beginning of his term, Mr. President, housewives were trying to sneak into the White House. Not anymore. Now everyone's leaving. Axelrod, Gibbs, Rahm Emanuel. By this time next year, it'll just be you and Joe Biden trying to find toner for the copy machine.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.